Gun control advocates accused the Bush administration today of reversing 65 years of government policy on the right to have a gun. Earlier this week, the Justice Department filed Supreme Court briefs in two cases, arguing that there is a strictly individual right to bear arms. The new policy reflects the influence of Attorney General John Ashcroft, who signaled the shift last year. We have two reports, the first from NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
The government's new position was buried in footnotes in two legal briefs filed with the Supreme Court earlier this week. In both cases, Solicitor General Ted Olson asked the High Court to let stand lower court gun convictions, saying that they're constitutional on a variety of grounds. But in the footnotes, the Solicitor General said the government has changed the view it has held for well over a half century on gun regulation. The discarded view is the same one the Supreme Court has held since the last time it spoke definitively on the subject of the Second Amendment in 1939. In that case, and in many by implication since then, the court has said there is no individual personal right to bear arms, that rather the Second Amendment was intended by the Founding Fathers to protect the right of citizens to form a well-armed militia for purposes of self-defense. In contrast, Solicitor General Olson said in his briefs, quote, "The current position of the United States is that the Second Amendment more broadly protects the rights of individuals, including persons who are not members of any militia or engaged in active military service or training, to possess and bear firearms." That position was first expressed in a letter written by Attorney General John Ashcroft last year to the National Rifle Association. But it was not clear then whether the letter was political rhetoric or a real-life change. This week's Supreme Court filing makes clear it's a real-life change, one that was hailed by the NRA and roundly denounced by gun control advocates like Matthew Nosenchuk, the litigation director of the Violence Policy Center.
They are now, you know, ratcheting up their politically motivated pro-gun agenda to the level of a brief in the Supreme Court that flatly contradicts everything they've told the Supreme Court for the last 65 years. It puts the Justice Department on a collision course with itself.
A collision course, he said, because inevitably the administration's new position would make it more difficult to sustain gun convictions against constitutional challenges from convicted criminals. Andrew Frye, who served for 15 years as the Deputy Solicitor General charged with defending criminal convictions in the Supreme Court, said the Bush administration's position, if adopted by the courts, would cast a cloud of doubt over most gun control laws.
That logic would lead them to the position where a lot of firearms regulation would be invalidated.
But George Mason Professor Nelson Lund, a strong gun control advocate, said that in his view, most federal laws would likely stand.
The more problematic statutes are mostly at the state level.
In particular, he said, under the theory he and the Bush administration are now espousing, total bans on handguns or assault weapons might well be unconstitutional. Mr. Frye, the former Deputy Solicitor General, had written a long letter to the Solicitor General urging him not to reverse course on this issue, and he said the decision to do so is an example of ideological or political loyalty trumping institutional loyalty.
These are the lawyers for the government. It is more than a little strange for them to be espousing limitations on the government's power.
Not so, countered Professor Lund.
The government should be willing to admit its mistakes when they're serious, as they are here. So should the courts, just as the courts were willing to admit their mistakes when they overruled Plessy versus Ferguson and decided that legalized segregation was not constitutional.
Just who's right or wrong is debatable. What's clear is that the man responsible for changing the policy, John Ashcroft, will be the president's lightning rod once again. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.